Well, I was looking this morning in Mark chapter 6, and this is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, as it's shared with us from Mark's account. I'm going to read you the whole thing, but there's really just one verse I want to focus on. But I want to get the whole story, just the flavor of the whole story. Then the apostles gathered Jesus and told him all. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had been taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw the great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided amongst them. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. So as we read the story, please note at the end that said these were 5,000 men. We call this the feeding of the 5,000 because the Bible refers to the 5,000 men. But surely there would have been women there and children there as well. So this is only taking into account the men. So let's even just assume that there was one woman and child for each man. You're still looking at a minimum of 10,000. You know, possibly you're looking at as many as 15,000 or more people who are gathered here together. This is an amazing thing. Can you imagine today if you had to feed? I'm sitting here in the studios of Yes FM in Toledo, surrounded. If somebody said right now that there was 15,000 people outside and we had to provide for them, the disciples said, "Shall we take 200 denarii and buy bread?" Obviously, that's not going to feed. 200 denarii is not going to be able to feed. Unless denarii went a whole lot farther than dollars do today, that's not going to feed a whole lot of the 15,000 people who are gathered there. And Jesus said for them to feed him, to feed them. So if somebody said there's 15,000 people outside the parking lot, we need to feed them, I don't know how even in our modern society, we would have to run to the closest grocery store. And if we had the money, can you imagine what the cost would be? And would there be enough? Could you go to one grocery store and get enough bread and fish just to feed 15,000 people? I don't know that you could at any one grocery store. You'd have to go to several grocery stores to get that done. This is an amazing thing. This is the depth of just how amazing this was that Jesus performed, this miracle that Jesus performed. This is the depth of the miracle. I also love the fact that the disciples, they had heart. They had a compassion for the people. They're the ones who came. Now, Jesus did too, but Jesus allows us to step up. They're the ones who came and said, "Hey, the day is now far spent." His disciples came and they said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." So they're cognizant of the fact that these people have been here all day long. They've been receiving, but they've not been receiving. They've been receiving spiritually, but they've not been receiving food to sustain them in the natural. The disciples are concerned for the people, but the reality is, again, if you have 15,000 people descending upon the surrounding villages, villages at that point were not that big. Everyone's not going to be able to find food. You're probably going to have to go a great distance to be able to find food. If you've ever been traveling somewhere where you've been going to, well, let's put it this way. I remember a few years ago, my brother was driving back from Florida, and he was driving back during the winter, and there was a blizzard, and so he got stuck, and basically the roads were shut down. So you have all these travelers who are coming back from Florida en masse, and they all get to one place, and they can't go any farther. Okay, try to find hotel space, because very quickly at that point, hotel rooms are being filled up. So you have too many people who you just can't get. They can't get anywhere. There's no there's no resources for that many people in such a small amount of area. This is exactly what the disciples were doing. They had compassion for the people, but they really were not going to meet the needs of the people because there would not be enough in the surrounding areas. Conceivably, there's not going to be anywhere near enough to provide for 15,000 people. So they were concerned, but they had no answer. They had a heart for the people, but they had no real answer. They're still sending the people to fend for themselves. And that's where Jesus says, you give them something. You provide for them. Jesus is empowering them. He's showing them that through him, they have the power to not just care about the people, but they are empowered and have the power through Jesus Christ to meet the needs of the people. You know, even in our culture today, even in our church today, there's a lot of times that we have empathy. We have concern. We have a heart for people. We can see that people have needs. And we're concerned for them. And we want to see them have their needs met. But just like the disciples, we get to a place where in the natural, there's really nothing we can do. The best thing the disciples could do is, guys, head to the countryside and fend for yourself. Not all of you are going to have your needs met, but go and take care of yourselves. Don't just sit here. Go take care of yourselves. We care about you. Well, too many times that's the way it winds up being in the body of Christ. We care about people, and so we care about them, and so we send them to help. Well, you know, here's a really good example. If somebody comes to you, and there's sickness in their body. It's easy for us to say, you know, you listen, you hear their problems, they tell you what's going on in their body, and it's easy for us to say, you know what, I know this doctor. You know, he's a specialist in this. You should probably see if you can go see this, or I would go see a doctor, or you need to go to the emergency room. You know, let me take you to the emergency room. There's a lot of times that we see that people have needs, and we have a heart for them. We have empathy. We want to help them meet the needs, but we fail to realize, just like the disciples did, we fail to realize that we've been empowered by Jesus Christ to meet their needs. The disciples are going to send the people to the surrounding countryside because they care about them. They know that they need food, but their answer is not going to solve the problem. In the natural, it's impossible to solve that problem. They want to send the people away, but Jesus says, don't let the people fend for themselves. You provide for them. Don't send them away. You provide for them. That's what confused the disciples. And we sometimes have that same confusion ourselves. Well, how can I? Rather than sending somebody away, empower them. Here's a testimony that a man gave at our church yesterday, which is just awesomely powerful. He shared that, I'm just going to give you the nutshell of the story, but there was a man that had come and was talking to him and had asked him to pray for a relative of his that was in the hospital and was having kidney failure. And so my friend had said to this man, you know, don't just pray and ask for his strength. You have authority. You go to the hospital. You speak to his kidneys. In the authority of Jesus' name, you speak to his kidneys that his kidneys will function again. This is the authority that you have in Jesus Christ. And so the man went to the hospital. He prayed over, I believe it was his brother, and spoke to the kidneys and commanded in the authority of Jesus' name, not his authority, but the authority that he had in Jesus, he spoke and commanded those kidneys to function. And guess what? The kidneys supernaturally functioned. That's not even something that the doctors were able to do. That's not something that medical profession could do, but Jesus could. There's so many times in our lives that we face problems and we try to find natural physical solutions to those problems. When the best solution, the best answer, the most complete victory is found not in the things that we send people to do, not in the things of this world, but in our taking the authority that we have in Jesus and speaking that authority into and over their lives. So the disciples had a heart for the people, but they were just going to trust in the natural. Jesus said, no, you give them something to eat. Now, this still is stunning information to the disciples because they hear Jesus and they've seen Jesus do miracles. They know the supernatural takes place through Jesus. They've seen it. They've experienced it. But now it's put on them. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Jesus didn't say, bring them here. I'll provide for them. This is so important. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. The same thing is true for us today. Jesus is saying, you take care of them. You meet their needs. It's not through my strength that I meet their needs. He's telling you and he's telling me, you meet the needs of the people around you through the authority that you have in me, through the authority in my name, through the power of the word, through having your words match up with the word, my word. This is what Jesus is saying to us. We are very quick in the body of Christ to send someone somewhere else. I'll pray for you. As you head to the hospital, I'll pray for you. It's so easy for us to, I will pray for your finances because I can see you need a miracle. It's so easy for us to say, I will pray that your emotions, the emotional difficulties you're struggling with right now, I will pray for that. You know, rather than praying for it, we have the authority. Jesus said, you take care of them. Don't send them somewhere else and don't send them away. You take care of them. This is our responsibility. It's the power and authority that he's given us, and it's the responsibility that we have as his followers. As he said to the disciples, you give them something to eat. It's up to you and I to not in our power or our authority. It has nothing to do with us other than we believe and we are obedient and we understand the power and the authority of Jesus' name. So if you find someone that has a medical need, you speak to their body in the authority of Jesus' name. If you find someone that has a financial need, you speak that the floodgates of blessing are opened up. If you find someone that is in a place where they have no idea how to resolve an issue, you speak to the problem and you command the problem to depart, or you command the problem to be resolved. This is the authority that we have, but we contain it within ourselves. Jesus said to the disciples, you give them something. He's saying the same thing to you and I. You give them something. We don't just stop and observe and watch and pray as an observer. That's the way most of us in the body of Christ think. We think in terms of, well, I'm just an observer of these things. No, I'm not just a spiritual observer of life and what happens in the life of the people around me. I'm not just a spiritual observer, and neither are you. We are supposed to be active participants in this. You give them something. Now, the quandary that the disciples were faced with is, well, how do we do this? They looked, first of all, to the natural, and they dug into their pocketbooks and their wallets, and they said, well, you know what? We've got 200 denarii. We can go buy some bread. But there's 15,000 people here. How are we going to provide that much bread? The first thing that we do is we look to the natural. If somebody comes to you and says that they have a sickness or disease, we look to the natural. Well, have you tried this? Well, you know, I read online that if you take this, this supplement will help that. We look towards the natural. We're always looking towards a natural solution. Jesus didn't have a natural solution for this. He had a supernatural solution. And we have the same power and authority in Jesus' name. And we are supposed to see the supernatural solutions to the things that face us. He said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. Now we do it to take stock and know what it is we have. And then we entrust what we have. So what the disciples did is they went and they found out. Here's what we have. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus said, take stock. Tell me, what is it that we have? See, we're going to apply our faith and we're going to believe for the supernatural. We're going to take what we have and use what we have And this is what's going to happen for us. We take what we have, and supernaturally, God will multiply. God will take what we have. But you see, we have to be involved in it. We can't be observers on the outside just watching. We have to be actively involved in participating. It's the same way with the woman whose sons were about to be taken because she owed money. And she comes to the man of God, and the man of God says, "What do you have?" "Well, I have oil." "Well, go borrow as many vessels as you can, and we're going to start pouring that oil." And so as many vessels as she collected, the oil just kept on pouring. And she had enough when it was all done. She had enough to pay the debt and for them to live on. She could have had stuff to give away if she'd have gotten more vessels. God uses what we have. We have to take what we have, and we believe for the supernatural. We're involved spiritually in the lives of those people around us. We're not just spiritual observers. "Well, I'll pray for you." No, get involved. Get involved. Be an active participant. Know and understand who you are in Jesus Christ, and that you have the power and the authority of Jesus. You have the power to use His name. And that in the power and authority of Jesus' name, you can see the supernatural take place just like we see in the Word of God. The Bible, and you read these stories, these are not fables or fairy tales or stories from ancient days with powers, magical powers that no longer exist. That's not what this is at all. This is the way, as we read this, this is the way that life should be for us today. Because this is the way that life is in Jesus. In fact, it should be even greater than the story that I'm reading to you, because this is before Jesus won the total victory. And this is why Jesus said that we should do even greater things than He did because of the victory that He provided. It's not magic. It's the power and the authority. It's the spiritual power and authority of Jesus Christ that is available to us as His joint heirs. And it's not just available to us. He expects us to operate in the power and the authority of His name. Now we're still left with, well, what do I do? How do I handle that? How do I make that supernatural? Jesus shows us. He demonstrates this to us Himself. And we're going to read this in the concluding verses. We'll pick this up tomorrow. This is Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. And this is the story of feeding the 5,000. And it's a story to remind us we are not just spiritual observers. Praying as we watch. "Well, I'll pray for you." No, become actively involved. Today, look around and see the people that are in your life, who cross your path, that have physical needs. Whether they be physical needs for their health, whether it's needs financially, emotional needs, whatever their needs are, job needs, car needs, whatever their needs are. You're going to come across people today that have needs. Don't just stand by as a spiritual observer and say, "I'll pray with you." Instead, pray for them. Instead, pray over their situation and speak the authority that you have over that situation. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. This is what He teaches us.